Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. Normally when I do these preview episodes, I do them on my own, kind of just chatting about why I think you should come to a show, etc, etc. But for reasons that will become immediately obvious as we get into the show, it was nice to bring on Jeff from Omega Throne and have a conversation with him because they're doing some insanely great shows and some really interesting stuff that's coming up. And there's a really big show coming up, which we're going to talk. It's going to be on the 30th of June at the Outpost, which is just, it's a show they put together. And I don't want to kind of bury the lead. I'll let them, let him talk about what's going on with the particulars of the show. But this is a great show organised by the band themselves, and they put an enormous amount of work into that. But it was nice to catch up with Jeff anyway. He's a great guest. He's a great friend. He's someone who really gives me an interesting point of view with things, and their band and the stuff that he's doing is really interesting as well. So it was nice to sit down with Jeff and do a little preview show for their upcoming show on the 30th of June. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to get this person back on the show again. One, because he's really great to talk to, but also because we've just been quickly saying before we joined on pod, is extremely busy with some great shows and some great stuff coming up. Jeff from Omega Throne, how are we doing, sir?
Oh, not too bad at all. Not too bad at all. Enjoying the balmy weather.
It's good. Yeah, it's not good for metalheads, though, is it? Let's be honest. Oh. A lot of black clothing, a lot of small venues, tightly wrapped people.
No, I'm definitely in summer metalhead mode. It's like t-shirt, very classy. Yeah. Here.
Yes.
Rainbow death metal. Just having to remember that here in the UK, even though I've been here 20 years, I still want to call them thongs, and that gets me looked at weird. When I say I'm hanging around, it's hot enough, I'm just hanging around in my thongs, and people look at me like, oh my God, why did you tell me that? And oh my God, why are you wearing more than one of them? I mean,
it's one of the best times. I know when summer's coming, when the metalheads switch to the cargo and the camo shorts, that's how I know. It works almost like British summertime for me. Yes, we are now begun and I'm good to go. Like
they start getting slightly tanned shins. there's something deep in my antipode and soul that just it basks like a lizard on a rock in weather like this. I'm you know, my many of my English and European friends are going, oh, it's hot. It's like yes. It's supposed to be like this. This is the correct weather.
So we've got a lot to get through. We'll fire through this, but there is some, you've got some great things coming up. And I don't know, I mean, I suppose the best place to start would be that's coming up this weekend. It's the Metal to the Masses, the grand final.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ.
Fingers crossed for that one, because we've got the North Wales final on the Saturday night at the it's the Excess, which is sort of above the Penny Black in Wrexham, if you know Wrexham at all. Yeah. It's like on that main drag in the middle of town. So, it's pretty easy to get to and all that sort of stuff. So we've got that on there. And we're going to bring out a few like stage lights and a few extra
a bit
more showmanship maybe on the actual.
Well, that's the time to do it, Jeff. When you play a grand final, you've already played heats, so people will know your stuff and know what you do and go, okay, that's great. I get this now. Now I want to see that and plus more. I want to see a show now. Not that that was a show, but I want to see more show.
Absolutely, and. You know, much as I love my musical my compatriots and all that sort of stuff, the excitement and value of watching somebody else play a guitar is reasonably small after you've seen it a few times. I mean, the great thing about Charlotte and Marching is both of them do put on a show. They get right into it. So, you know, that's always lovely because we're not a bunch of shoegazers. You know, we're never going to be the sort of stoner rock thing of just like looking at the floor and moping.
No, I find, Jeff, and in a really good way, that, you know, you certainly yourself is almost confrontational in a live situation, almost like, you know,
to grab the audience and go, listen to what's going on and listen to what I'm saying, you know, and I only see that as a good thing.
I've always said that if you're not going to get into your own music, then why the hell should anyone else?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's death / black metal with a few other little bits thrown in, classic rock and stuff like that. But yeah, mainly that's its basis. It's fast. It's intense. It's not supposed to be something that you sort of sit there and go, oh, I'll fold my arms and go, aren't they clever? Or have a little groovy, sexy, wiggle your butt time. You know, it's angry music, you know, yeah, and it's supposed to have an intensity. It's supposed to be driven and all of that sort of stuff. And yeah, like as I was saying before, Charlotte and Marchand are great because they match that nicely. So, you know, as a front man, it's very reassuring to have that.
I think that's the other thing, ladies and gentlemen, when you go and see Omega Throne, if you haven't already, is that it is already a very finished look. Everybody's normally, when a band's sort of starting out, everybody kind of figures out what they're doing. Am I the front person? Am I the one who does the moving? Do I interact with the crowd? Do I not interact? Do I have a mic? Do I not have a mic? All these things have to get worked out. You guys seem to have already got that, where when it's up there, it's like, okay, everybody knows their assignments.
It's jamming. It's the comfort of knowing your shit, okay? Mm. Instead of knowing your shit. You know what I mean? You don't have the same nerves on stage if you know your material well. You know, you put in the hard yards and you play every week and you practice your stuff when you're not playing. And if you have that sort of background there, it gives you a great deal more confidence when you're on stage. It's like, I mean, if you've ever done anything theatre-wise, if you know your lines backwards, then you can concentrate on the performance. That's the same with this sort of stuff. But, you know, we know our lines, so we can put a bit more into the performance. The only thing I'm not looking forward to is the excess. Last year, it was a sweaty, sweaty place. It was hot. Hot in there. And as an Antipodean, I'm still saying it was hot in there. It wasn't quite raining from the ceiling, but it was definitely dripping down the walls sort of territory.
One of the things that happens when it's really hot in a venue, I find, is people go from, there's this stages of it, Jeff, if you can bear with me a second. You go for the first stage of, you go in, you go, wow, this room's either really small or it's really dark, so this is going to be a hot one. Okay. Then it moves to, what clothes can I take off because it's getting hot? So jackets go and shit like that. And then you get to the point where it's like, this is really hot, I'm going to have to drink my body weight in alcohol. It's insane. Then you get to the point of, this is really fucking hot, I may die. And then you get to the stage of, I don't know how I'm going to get out of here alive, and this is a really bad situation. And then all of a sudden it switches to, fuck it, we're all smelling, it's all stinks, everybody's sweating, no one gives a fuck, let's just enjoy the show. It's like Nine Inch Nails playing Woodstock and deciding to cover themselves in mud to be part of the audience. Everybody's sweating, everybody's hot.
There is a certain point. Where you just go, right, I'm just going to let this wash over me because, you know, there is no alternative. Yeah. No, excess wasn't that bad last year, but it can be. I mean, if have you ever been to it? It's kind of cool because they set it up like I think it was supposed to be actually a strip club or something.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit more open around the sides, isn't it? Yeah,
so
yeah,
you've
yeah.
got these little nooks and lots of disco balls around the sides and all that sort of stuff. And it's a bit like cheap, sumptuous, you know, like red velvet curtains and stuff like that around the place. But, you know, but the staff there are absolutely lovely. The bar staff, you know, those guys are great.
Fozzy
and
that, I really hope this one, I don't hope this one will sell out. Fozzy's done and Bean do some great work there. I've had them on the show before. They're really, really, really one of those defenders of the faith that are keeping the scene going. Absolutely. This show, it will sell out. It will sell out. It will sell out.
And Fozzy and Bean are absolute friggin' troopers. Those guys from that sort of Pentra best scene thing, they've been around forever and they really put the hard yards in. And I mean, Beanie's a great MC. You couldn't ask for a better, you know, a better hype man before you come out and play. Yeah. So, yeah, really looking forward to that on the 24th and really, you know, get your ass down there. It's going to be fun and games.
That's some bill as well. Deified, Napoleon Rising. I mean, my love for Deified is, you know, I've talked about a lot. Same for Napoleon Rising. That's, aside from the bands that are competing, that's a great fucking show on its, in of itself.
I mean, if you just tacked any, the thing is, if the quality of bands coming through this year has been really friggin' high, so I reckon if you made a three-part bill of those two headliner bands plus any of the other bands that were in the final, you know, us or any of the other guys, that would be a good show. That would be a show that'd be worth your money.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. So like you're getting Dystopian Sworn and Last Judgment and Alaya. And these are like really, what an interestingly diverse bill that is as well, which is great for the scene. It just shows you, listen, there is a ton of imaginative threads of metal being kind of pulled here, and you kind of fit in amongst those things. It's incredible endorsements of the scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the even at the sort of Heats level, there was bands that were knocked out in the first round of what we did with that we did for the North Wales Metal to the Masses. That, you know, on a different night, could have made it through to the final.
Yeah. You know, it was the same with the Merseyside one. A couple of bands that I was like, these are absolutely going to go through on the night. There was other bands that just played better, just did a better job. And that's what you want. That's real competition, because then it moves from everybody, you know, a high tide raises all ships. Then everybody's getting a great show. I've had a look at the rules, Jeff, of Metal to the Masses. Yeah. And I don't want to surprise you here, but if you win this, my friend, you play Bloodstock.
I know that's the thing that's making me go apart from being a cheapskate skate bus, because I might get to go and see Biohazard for free. There's part of me that, like I have Scottish ancestry, and, you know, there's part of me that's as tight as a duck's ass. But, you know, yes, I mean, that would be an amazing opportunity if we can get our butts onto the New Blood stage. Yeah. And, you know, and the thing is, the traffic through the New Blood stage is good. You know, it's not like it's just stuck out in the middle of nowhere and no one's going. There's a lot of people who are going, right, you know, I'm in between the main bands that I want to see. Hop past, you know, that there's not, I don't want to see anything on the Sophie Lancaster or whatever right now. I'll just pop my head past the New Blood.
You're at the back watching the main stage, you can look to the left and see the entrance to the New Blood stage. And it's like, it's a 2 minute walk to it. Easily. I remember going to see In Between Two Bands. I remember going to see 10 Ton Slug In Between Two Bands and walking down, catching their entire set, and then coming back up. It's totally doable, and something, ladies and gentlemen, that you should do, because there's some bands coming through now that make it, that go from that to the Sophie stage and beyond. It happens. It's a very real sort of route map, you know, especially for you guys. And it'd be nice to see if that happens. I've already talked about, like, I don't do a preview show for the Wales one, because I do it for the Liverpool one and Merseyside one.
But absolutely. It's your backyard.
Which is nice. Listen, let's talk a little bit about, am I pronouncing it right? Zum. S-Z-U-M.
Zum. Interesting group of guys. I shouldn't say guys, because there's a lass doing the vocals, and she's great. She's got one of those properly... I always think that with black metal vocals, you always, like, death metal vocals should sound like something from the Pit of Satan, black metal vocals should sound tortured. They should have an edge of pain in that rasp, and she's got that. She's got that. I mean, we're doing a split EP with these guys that's coming out via Woolfare Productions. They're based out in Leeds. But the guys from Zum, Conrad's a lovely, lovely lad who's the main sort of creative force behind it. And it's an interesting take on the black metal thing with it's got some of the identifiable parts of black metal, the big washed out tremolo picking stuff and all of that sort of stuff, but it's got its own thing happening. So we're doing a split EP with those guys. So there's the three tracks that we've recently recorded, and Zoom's going to be putting like three tracks on as well. So that'll be coming out soon. I don't want to say exactly when, but until the CDs are in Wolfair Production people's hot little hands. You don't want to say yes, it's definitely going to be. I've not heard of them.
So I went and listened to their stuff. I think you're 100% right. It sounds like they took all the parts of death and metal and stuff and just come up with a different thing. They had the same book and the same parts that everybody else did, but came up with a really interesting take. There's a lot of different choices. I love the idea of splits. I'm a big fan of splits. Kundra did a split recently and I thought it was fabulous because it really kind of, it's almost the epitome of crossover. It's almost the epitome of kind of experimentation and collaboration in its purest form, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we've got the split coming out with those guys. We helped them shoot a video for one of the tracks that are on the EP last Saturday. It was slightly hilarious because I was being dragged around a dusty floor by a tiny little Belgian lady who's covered in leather and spikes. And I had to say, you know, more than once, you know, there's people who pay good money for this sort of stuff. But for me, it was just a bit uncomfortable. Like,
how does that conversation start, Jeff? Hey, good morning. We're going to do the video for this song.
It starts with me being far too, what's the word for it? Affable. when Conrad gets in touch and says, oh, would you mind doing this? That? Yeah, no worries. I'll do whatever you need me for. No, it won't be a problem. You want me to? Okay, I've got myself into this. No, it was lovely guys, and it was a lot of fun. But it's one of those things where if you've done any like shooting a video or anything like that, something you pretty quickly realize is that they do 5 minutes with you, and then it's like, okay, now we're going to reset everything, and then you sort of sit around while it all gets moved, the lighting gets moved, and the camera gets, and then there's a bit of waiting around, but that's
who'd have thought being dragged around in chains by a Belgian woman would be boring, you know? Turns out, apparently, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff's told you there's a lot of honey up and wait involved.
That bit was far from boring. It's the bits while the poor camera guy goes, right, now I've got to change this, now I've got to change that, now I've got to rearrange this. He worked hard that night, Conrad. He had a couple of mates who were also doing some drone shots and things like that. So it was very interesting.
It's a bit of a lost art that at the moment, where because of the nature of music and stuff, is the video and the kind of the visuals that go in it. It seems to be something of a lost art because I love a good video and I love a video that's kind of like interesting. It really pushes the medium.
I'm an addict. I used to have gigs. I mean, back in the back, I used to have gigs and gigs of video clips on storage. You know, Michel Gondry and Chris Cunningham and all of these like video directors that were just doing crazy stuff in the 90s and 2000s and all that sort of stuff. But you're right. It has sort of somewhat died in the bum. I think that like maybe the sort of the 2 minutes of TikTok is starting to become a little more dominant in that regard.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like you'd think that in a visually based medium systems that are now existing are the most popular. You'd think it'd be everybody be pouring everything into it, but it seems like the work that's required, you know, if you were doing a tool video now, the work required to get to it, the visuals are great, but the work required to it is months and months and months and months and months and months of work that maybe that doesn't lend itself to. I think that, though, especially if you're in an aspiring band, if you're in a young band, you put the time into a visual because that can be a good visual is forever. It is forever, you know, especially on a video.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's just not commercially viable for the large companies to be looking at that sort of thing. I mean, they make their money out of live performances nowadays. You can't make a huge amount of money out of recordings unless, you know, you're Taylor Swift. And they put so much into the stage performance that just film that, stick it on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's a shame. So I'm looking. So is there plans then, I would imagine, to do some kind of show with Zoom?
I'd love to, but the thing is, I think they're a bit more of an international sort of projecty thing than we are. Yeah. I mean, they're more of a collaborative project that spans from sort of London to Belgium.
It would require maybe a lot of beats to be pitched before you could do it. Yeah,
it would be tricky to do as a live thing. It would involve getting a lot of people in the same place at the same time, which may be. Yeah. May be tricky. I mean, we're definitely a more live-oriented outfit than Zoom are. I just love the name as
well.
It'd
be nice to do a one-off and do that. Be lovely, wouldn't it?
It'd be great if we could, yeah. And I just love the name as well. It's a Polish word that means noise, but without negative connotations.
Like noise, like, yeah.
It could be the sound of, it could be a horrible cacophony from a factory, or it could be waves on a beach, wind in trees and forest and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, interesting Wonderful. Stuff.
Yeah. It's one of those names and one of those outlooks and one of those approaches where you know that every single piece of music, let alone an EP or an album, will sound differently. You know that, and that's exciting. That's wonderfully exciting there, because you're like, okay, the gloves are off here now. We could get anything here, and that's exciting, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's always that lovely thing of going, I don't know what the next one's going to sound like.
Yeah, which is good. We talked about this, about being surprised by experimental and surprised by left turns and stuff. We've talked about that. So the biggest, ladies and gentlemen, the real reason I want to get Jeff on is to talk about this upcoming show. This is the 30th of June. There's a lot to unpack here, but we'll get straight into it. This is a great show, ladies and gentlemen. This is served as a preview for it, but if I hadn't done this conversation, I would have done a preview for this show, because there's a lot of firsts. It's at a great venue. And I mean, where does this start? Because you are the guys putting the show on.
Yeah.
So where does that start?
I mean, that basically started because some other guys that we used to share a space with were putting on a gig at the Outpost, and they, because of various reasons, the band broke up, and we went, there's a date available then. Okay, can we book it? Okay, how much does it cost? Maybe we should just sort of do this ourselves, give it a go. So, you know, we've booked out the Outpost. And, you know, we've got Gospel Heim and Def Odd on, have agreed to come and play. You know, we'll see if we can, as per usual with these things, you know, we'd be very, very happy if we got close to breaking even. You know, nobody goes into extreme metal for the money. That's for sure.
It's not a growth industry in terms of money. Like it is in artistic content, but not in money. Like no one's bit the next extreme metal promoter billionaire. But am I right in thinking, because I was listening back to Gospel Heim, and I just what an amazing band they are. You know, I totally slept on them and didn't. Really, I mean. Ritual and Reputation, and you know, oh my word, you know, Hope Springs and Fail. These are wonderful. I can't wait to see that live.
Epic sound to the guys. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I think, is that the first time they've played Liverpool?
I think it might be. They're Manchester based. So yeah, I think it's Gospel Heim's first. I think it's their first first gig in Liverpool. And Def Odd, it's an extreme but diverse bill. You know, we've got a few different flavors of nastiness going on.
Yeah, like Def Odd and like stuff like the Burning Intent and stuff. This is really interesting stuff. It reminded me of the show I went to see with Ninkarsag, and it was a similar vein to that at the Outpost. It was a similar vein where it was just enough shades of a similar color that it really held together, and I think that this is the bill. I mean, so are you think then, if this works, and I'm pretty sure it's going to work, would you be open to do more shows then, you know, from a self-setup point of view?
You know, it's one of those very much one of those suck it and see things, you know, like, if it comes off okay, then we'll look at putting on another one. But we're a band first and foremost. Promotion's its own special thing. Yeah. that requires, I think, a skill set that while we're willing to assume it, it's not our first love. We like to play gigs rather than organize them. But if it goes well, then we can look.
What you'll be doing, Jeff, is that, you know, and this will do well, this gig. Mark my words, I was there for the Nincarsak one. It was a sellout, and there was no more people you could get in that building. You really couldn't, which isn't, you know, it's a 70, 80 cap venue, which doesn't, you know, sound that impressive, but it's still 70, 80 people that are coming to an extreme metal show, which is a success in of itself. But what you're doing is it's almost a proof of concept. It's almost like, look, these bands can come on from this particular genre, you know, this extreme genre, it can sell. That will get noticed. You know, promoters will go, okay, well, then we should book X band or this band or whatever. It becomes very much a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'd like to, if it goes well, like, you know, fingers crossed, I'm hoping it will. Some people, we've had quite a bit of interest. So, you know, hopefully that'll, you know, come through. But also just as a DIY proof of concept. Like for any of those other bands there that, you know, you've done your hard yards, you've sat in your bedroom, your lockup, wherever you are, you've practiced your shit, you've got your set down, right? Mm. You don't need to wait for someone to come to you and book you in, okay? You know, get a few mates together, get in touch with other bands around the place, and you know, like, see what you can sort out yourself. Yeah. I mean, a place like the because it isn't a huge capacity venue, a place like the Outpost isn't hugely expensive to hire. You know, and if you've got a few bits of your own gear, and you can hire bits and pieces from them as well, and it's doable.
Yeah, you know, I think it's part of a, you know, I 100% agree, 100%. I think it's part of a multifaceted strategy of your young band. So you're going to get the shows that are metal to the masses. You're going to get the shows that are your first on the bill. You'll get some festival shows. You'll get this. But if there are leaner times when, you know, we're not booked for, I don't know, 2 months, look at that in your calendar. We've all got a calendar. Look at that in the calendar. Go, look, you know, let's book one of ours. It doesn't become the main way you're getting gigs. It just supplants the other shows.
It's another string to the bow. And let's face it, you know, the more strings there are, the more things you'll hit.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's been lovely having the guys from Dark Earth Records helping out as well. I mean, lovely bunch of guys over in Wallasey. And the Sikorsky tattoo. I mean, that was for me when the guys came in and say, "Hey, we've got this Sikorsky tattoo promotion guy that he's willing to put up 2 hours of free tattooing as a prize for anybody who pre-booked tickets."
This is exactly what I was talking about when I talk about an ecosystem. I'm like, when I'm saying, look, it's not just about come and see a group of bands and that's great and have a good night. That's expected. That's the entry. That's the admission fee. But for me, then all this other great stuff comes, like Dark Earth Records. So you get a local vinyl emporium, and now they get in on this and they get support, and people go, actually, I didn't even realize there was a shop in Wallasey. Now I'm going to go. When I talk to people who've been like that, and you get tattoo places that are like, oh, I didn't realize that person tattooed. Okay. And it's a whole ecosystem. Metal isn't just the bands. There's the crew, the promoters, everything that kind of reverberates out from that. And, you know, and I love it when I see that kind of collaboration. I think it's wonderful. I think it's exactly what that's a scene. You can look at that and go, okay, we're supporting shop owners and people who don't play in bands. We're supporting all the facets that make up our scene. That's the real success here for me. I think that's a beautiful thing when that happens.
No. Like I was made up when, and the giveaway when he produced the piece of art, the Omega Throne, that looked way cool. One thing that we'll have to talk about seeing if we can use from him is he does it all digitally, right? So,
okay.
So you can scroll back and forth on he's got a record of every step of producing the damn thing.
Oh, well,
you can use like a, you know, like an animation of it. And I saw like a few of the little bits, like just a few little, oh, here's where it started, da 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 da. And I just went, oh, that looks wicked. You know, it's like, okay, we've got some visuals for when we do a video. We've got some stuff we can use there.
But that's what happens. Other people will see his artwork, or the bands may see his artwork and commission. That's what happened to Elrond Kranthor, who did the exhibition at the Dark Earth. You know, started off doing some things for his friends. People realized he was fucking amazing. And then all of a sudden he's doing it for Malevolence and all these other great bands, you know. And that's how this works, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, it's about creating an awareness of what is around you, of awareness of all these wonderfully talented artists and people that are, maybe don't get seen, you know, don't get kind of the props that they deserve. So this show is looking, this looks very special.
Between you and me, it also doesn't hurt that they're bloody lovely individuals as well. A bunch of sweeties. You know, genuinely lovely people to spend some time with. So, you know,
it just wins because ladies and gentlemen, you'll pay your ticket for this show and be wonderfully entertained by the bands they're in, but also you'll be part of something. You really will be part of something at this show, because you, like we've explained, it's a proof of life. It's a proof that this just goes on and can be a workable project and a workable thing that promoters do. You are supporting your outside scene. You are supporting the bands coming in from other areas, as well as bands on the local scene. You're supporting a venue and a potential for promoters. Why aren't you at this show, ladies and gentlemen? That's what this is a preview show. Why the fuck aren't you at this show? Because everything is ticked, and for a very small price, you can do this, and you're going to enjoy yourself. It's going to be a fantastic show.
Absolutely. For a bit more than a pint.
Yeah. Listen, Jeff, me and you get on. You're a nice guy, but I've kicked off about this comparison to a pint. I've kicked off about it, and I've wrote a piece about it. You're right that's how we should put it, but I'm saying that lowers that water for that, because it's like, this is more than this a pint.
I shouldn't devalue myself.
There you are. That's what I'm saying, my friend. You shouldn't. But I'm going to say, you're not getting just a pint at this show, ladies and gentlemen. No. You're getting experiences that will last forever. You'll be able to sit here and go, I saw a Megathrone. I saw them supporting. And then they went on to win Bloodstock. This year, they're playing Sophie, and they're going to be opening the main stage. You're going to be able to say these things because you'll have seen these things. And the only way you can see these things is getting to a show.
I wish you would knock on wood when you said that sort of thing.
You're cursing. Knock on all the fucking guitars.
I'm going to knock on some cheap formica here.
But it is. And I think that, you know, I'm really looking forward to the show. I think it's going to be on. I'm looking forward to get to the final in North Wales. It'd be nice. There's so much great stuff coming from Megathrone, ladies and gentlemen. And I really, I'll put links as always onto the show. I really want you to check them out, because they are truly on a really interesting journey. And alongside that, they're producing some absolutely superb music. Jeff, brilliant as always, my friend. We'll get you on again for a long one. You know what? If you go through and you win the final, you owe me another show where we talk about that. Deal?
It's a date. Absolutely. I'd love to have a chat with you, Mark.
No worries.
Beautiful stuff. I hope you survive the humidity at the moment.
but what a way to go over those.
Well, you're lucky you've got no hair. Back when I had no hair, it was like, radiated all out of there. Now I've got this friggin' wool, you know.
So all that happens is it just sweats into your eyes now. So at the show, ladies and gentlemen, the show on the 30th, I'll wear a bandana. I'll fashion an Omegathrone bandana. And
go traditional English. Get a hanky and tie it off in the corners.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the wonderful Jeff from Omegathrone. Thanks, sir. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Mark. You have a good one, mate.
Always good to talk to Jeff there. Like I said, if he gets through, then he owes me a show. It seems like a pretty good deal. But they've also, I mean, one of the things he didn't mention we didn't get into is that they're also playing on Saturday the 1st. They're playing Grind After Death Fest, with a superb festival. Some quality acts on there. And that's coming up as well. They've really got They've really got a lot of good shows coming up, and they're really working hard. That's why I get bands on the show, 9 times out of 10 is because I really, really enjoy the band. But a lot of the times, because they believe in themselves and because they're really working hard to get the craft and their stage show together and their sound together and their recording and how they are from a social media point of view and how they present themselves, all kind of where it needs to be. And Omega Throne are one of those bands that are just right on the edge of exploding. You know, still certainly my pick to go forward and win Metal to the Masses North and go through to play Bloodstock, so a load more people can see how great they are. It helps a lot that Jeff's a nice guy as well. So that's going to be, you know, that's going to be an insane show too. But this one that I really, really employ you to get to is on the 30th of June. And this one at the Outpost, again, home for me. This feels another special one, ladies and gentlemen. We've had a few of these now and they're starting to all become special, aren't they? Which is a great thing, which means there is a scene because everything is starting to be interesting and evolving. As always, I'm going to throw in the water there a little announcement they're going to be making. We're right on the cusp of this now. We're very, very close to some kind of two announcements that I'm just going to tease at the back end here. But once again, thanks for listening, and I will see you at the show.